Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And episode 201, as we, the last time we got together a couple weeks ago, we did episode 200 with our good friend Carrie from the Metal Geeks Podcast joining us, and it was quite an epic show, almost 2 hours.
Yeah, that was very long.
I felt very good about it, like it was a good, solid show, but it was tiring too. I was like, man. Felt like we ran a marathon. I didn't check, but I think it might be our longest show on record. I think it might have beat the record by a couple of minutes. So, I think that's pretty cool. But
we'll definitely have to time it, but make sure we got at least a couple seconds longer than our last. It definitely felt like it. It felt like it.
Right. One of these days we probably will. And I want to go before we get into the march to the next 300, because the show did run long. You know, we didn't, I don't know if we, I just felt like we didn't do enough thank yous, but I want to say a couple of thank yous, like, for reaching 200 episodes. And first off, to anybody who's ever listened to the show, thank you for ever listening to the show.
Yes.
Liking anything on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And thank you to you, Matt, man, for helping me get to 200, because you have been my second in command, my right wing man. My top gun, a wingman.
I'm your goose.
You missed a few episodes, but for the most part, you have been there and been very supportive of what I've tried to put together with the Rebel Radio Podcast. And I don't even like to say what I've done anymore, because you're just as much a part of it. This is our show, and it's something we built, and we're very proud of, you know, and I think...
Our empire. Yes. Yeah.
But you've been awesome, and thank you to Long. He's not on the show today, but he helped us out early on when he had his own show, and we played off of him. And then he joined the show early 2019. He came back and joined as a regular member, and now he's still a recurring character on the show. But Long has also been very, very supportive of the show, and I thank him a lot for that too.
And, oh yeah,
you know, we could have gotten to 200 if it wasn't for you know, just people listening to the show and you and me sticking our guns to make it happen.
100%. Yeah, that's true.
And now we begin the march to hopefully 300, you know. We're going to take it a week at a time right now and see where it goes. And we will get there. And but yeah, so here we are, episode 201, as we move forward to hopefully 300 episodes. And a couple of special fan shout-outs to Francisco. You've been a big supporter of our show. A friend of mine, Pedro, he's also been a big supporter of the show. And your Uncle Ted, he's been a big supporter. You know, so a few guys, I might be missing a few, but those are just a few people I know that stand out to the top of me that have been big supporters of us over the years, you know. And, I don't know if there's anybody you wanted to thank or anything.
Yeah, just, I mean, really, you know who you are. Everyone that retweets us every week, you know, like you said, Francisco. And, you know, friends that you've gotten on recently, like Mr. Wick, you know, we'll call him Mr. Wick, and Tar Button, you know, people that have listened to us for a while.
Our Patreons for sure.
Yeah. Mike,
they allowed us to pay for our server space this year, which helped out a lot. And, so that, you know, that worked out and, yeah, for sure. Also our fellow Houston podcasters, Brandon and Randy at Colt 45. Heather and Elizabeth, the Nerdy Bitches. Of course, we mentioned Carrie and Dave and George at Metal Geeks. Justin, also with Mind Fudge and Metal Geeks. Erica over at Raging Nerds and John. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Brian at Bri-Fi Podcast. Jason at Walker. You know, I'm probably missing a few. Rob, of course, Ramblings with Rob. Rob Zip and his show. Jason and Robert over at Bayou City Geeks. Clint.
Did we say Justin and George?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clint over at Rawcast, who now has a new show he changed the name of. But just thanking the people that have come on the show, too. And, of course, you know, all those people have helped us out get to where we are, and we played off each other. And so just some thank yous that we kind of forgot to do at the end of 200, but I didn't want to go today without doing two, you know, before we start the march to the next 100 or 200 episodes. So all those guys mean a lot to us, and we thank them for our support. And
but yes, thank you.
And so, man, and also congrats out to you, man, a newborn at the house.
Yeah.
Four, you almost have a full basketball team.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know what you were thinking. I think you're fucking lost your mind. But congratulations, brother.
Yeah.
You know, your family means the world to me, and I'm going to be happier for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's perfect. He's healthy, and that's all that matters. Mom is healthy. And we were able to leave at the earliest time possible from the hospital. She did it with no pain meds. She tried, but as soon as they flipped her back over, she went from being, you know, starting labor to just there all of a sudden, because, you know, it's baby number four, so everything just, you know, goes a lot faster.
You know what that means? That means do not fuck with her, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, she can do that without pain. You don't scare her one fucking bit.
Yeah. I made a joke because, and my mom's like, that's not funny. I was like, it is now because it's after the birth. But I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, they're like, is it working? And she's like, I feel it in my knee. And I was like, it's like the anesthesiologist was like, well, I was able to numb your knee. Does that help? Does that give you any comfort? Mom, she's like, don't joke about that. I was like, no, she's pretty proud of it. She feels like she's Wonder Woman. I was like, and rightfully so. I was like, I don't think, you know, anyone, you know, that I know has done it natural. Right. You know, everyone's like, man, give me that pain med, you know. But I know I would. If I had to go through that, you know, I would definitely want some pain medication.
Guys, we're pussies, dude. We would need pain medicine.
Hell yeah.
We would need our feet rubbed or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, hey, you're not wrong.
I mean, women, God bless them for what they do.
Yes, yes.
But you know, but again, congrats, man. I'm glad for you. You know, let's learn where that how that happens, and you know, no more. You're gonna run out of room at the house, dude.
Yeah, for real. And you need an extension on the house soon. You know,
all right. But no, it's good, man. And on, we took a week off last week after 200, which kind of worked out because my voice was shot. The baby didn't come till after we were recorded, so that would not have interfered. But yeah. We needed a break, and instead, I did put out a short little 4-minute episode. Our friends at Brandon and Rand at Cult 45, Brandon and Randy, had a podcast blackout going to support the Black Lives Matter movement. And we participated in that last week. I released a little 4-minute thing with some words about I spoke for all of us and how we felt about things and Long Road a poem. And it's on our podcast feed right now. So check that out if you'd like. And it's an important cause. I don't want to get, you know, we do the podcast for people to escape. So I don't want to get too into things right now. But the world is, it's a mess right now in some ways. And we just need to be vigilant and treat each other properly. And just love each other the best we can because otherwise we're not going to make it. The human race won't make it if we can't do those simple things. And proud to participate in that for Randy and Brandon. Very good guys. I consider them might not be guys we hang out with all the time, but when we do run into Randy and Brandon, it's like old times. We consider them good friends, and that was a good movement they put together. So proud of them for putting that together, and proud to participate in it. So. So now let's officially get into the show, and we always start the show with download this, where we tell people what we streamed, checked out, watched. I would imagine you had a little downtime having a baby. You might check.
Yeah, a little bit.
What did you watch?
Yeah, so I watched actually recently today I watched Equilibrium again because I was just like, you know, scrolling through my movies, and I'm like, I want to watch something that I haven't watched in a while. And I want to see some action, and I watched it, and I remember how little action's actually in Equilibrium. There's right. Like three action scenes really that are, you know, meaningful, but you know, I still enjoyed it. And then I watched Cliffhanger, and then I watched The Mask, and what else? I felt like there was something else that I watched. I watched Onward and and sing like tons of times the animated movies because my sons have been wanting to flip flop back and forth with those. Yeah. I mean, I like Onward's good, but it's like, man, you know, watching it over and over and over again, it's going to start to wear on me. I know it. Yeah. And then, I watched Troy. That's the other one I watched. I watched Troy, and I hadn't seen it in forever. I mean, since it first came out.
You ever seen the director's cut?
No.
It's much better. It's not that the original's bad, but the director's cut is much more violent. I prefer that version.
But yeah, I was like, oh, that's the girl from X-Men First Class. It's like, yeah. I know her.
Yeah, I thought Troy was really good. It's a movie I can imagine us doing on the show one day. I think it kind of went under the radar, but I think it's a really well done film.
And, absolutely.
I think it's great. There's a young Garrett Hedlund is in that before he went on to do Tron. A few other young actors got their start in that, and Eric Bana, however you say it, is so good in that movie.
He is.
Yeah. He's just excellent in that film.
Yeah, but that's I think that's about it for me. I can't remember anything else that I really watched. I did download and subscribe to DC Universe so that I could watch some of the other animated films. I'll probably keep it for a little bit, get caught up, maybe watch some animated Titans, or not animated Titans.
It's going to go away come this fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're going to merge it all into HBO Max, even though they haven't officially said that yet. Everyone knows it's coming.
Okay.
But, it's funny that you mentioned that because I wanted to get resubscribed to DC Universe, but the app is only on Roku and Amazon Prime Stick, and my Prime Stick is upstairs. I, for the life of me, can't find the Roku. Lost in the boys' room somewhere. So instead, because I wanted to watch Titans, because I had started watching it when I had DC Universe, so instead I just bought it on Vudu. It was only $10 for the first season. I was like, it's $8 to subscribe to the thing or just buy that season for $10. So I've been watching Titan Season 1. I haven't really gotten to the new episodes yet. I've only kind of rewatched the first three that I'd already seen. But, man, if you have DC Universe right now, check out Titans, man. It's actually pretty good, man. And, people complained about, Starfire looking like a hooker. But she turns out to be one of your favorite characters in the show. So it's well done.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly. It's all about the character, the essence, and the writing. I've also started rewatching Breaking Bad. I just felt like it was time to rewatch that show after 5 years of it being off air, and still so good. I know I've told you this before, Matt. You've never watched it, but you and Jackie, when you are sitting in bed at night, y'all need to start watching Breaking Bad on Netflix. It's such a well.
My dad started watching Breaking Bad because he shaved his head. He started going to my mom's weightlifting class in the morning, and someone mentioned to him that he looks like Walter White. And I was like, yeah, you kind of do, Dad. You kind of look like Walter White.
I can see that a little bit.
And they're like, yeah, even your mannerisms, you kind of act like him. And he's like, now I definitely got to see it. So he's been slowly watching Breaking Bad. He's watched more Breaking Bad than I have, so I'm definitely going to have to get caught up. Edge me out.
Yeah, and the first season's only like 8 episodes, so it goes by quick. And then, the whole show's only like 65 episodes long, so it's not a hard watch. And it's just so good, man. I'm really enjoying rewatching that. Probably the newest thing I watched, instead of repeating something, I watched recommended by my brother-in-law to watch Hunt for the Wilder People, which is, of course, directed by Taika Waititi. And, I'm trying to get what the big deal is about Taika. I enjoyed this Mandalorian episode, and I thought Thor Ragnarok was okay. You know how I feel about that. I don't like What We Do in the Shadows at all. But Hunt for the Wilder People, I actually kind of rather enjoyed. I didn't think it was great, but if you're looking for something kind of quirky and different, and it's got the kid from Deadpool 2 in it, and it's got Sam Neill in it, and Sam Neill is really good in the movie. If Sam Neill doesn't make the movie work, then I don't think it would have been as good. He's really good in the film. It's on Hulu because I went ahead and did the Disney Plus bundle and got my Hulu back because I want to eventually watch Parasite, which is of course on there, won Best Picture. But I saw Hunt for the Wilder People was on there, so I watched it. And not a bad film. I still don't really understand the big deal about Taika Waititi. I'm trying to figure out why he's this big deal. But
I think maybe he was, you know, because of Ragnarok. Yeah,
maybe so. But Hunt for the Wilder People's pretty decent. Good little film. And I feel like I've watched something else possibly, but I don't remember. You know, it's been a long couple weeks since we have gotten together. And but there's not a whole lot new. I did kind of start watching Bad Boys for Life, but I haven't finished it. You know, I think I put it on like 10 and 30 one night, and I watched the first 30 minutes. And so I got a free digital copy of it from somebody. So eventually I'll probably watch the rest of that. But, you know, not that big a deal. Yeah. I finished watching it. But eventually... I will get around to watching the rest of that. And other than that, man, that's about it. I've been lazy playing video games lately, waiting for The Last of Us 2 to come out next Friday, and I'll probably be playing that and everything. So until then, though, but you know, you Xbox users can't play The Last of Us 2 because y'all suck.
Yep.
Don't zone out on me there, Matt.
I'm not zoning out on you. I'm just like, yep, talk all your stuff.
Talk my shit.
Yeah, wait till Xbox Series X comes out with their reveal.
PS5, bitch. We'll talk about that in the news later.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into today's feature film, man. You know, it's kind of funny. I didn't think about when I teased this movie on our social media. I talked about, you know, escaping from reality a bit, and which is very much what Inception is about. And I didn't realize that the movie we're doing next week is also in the same kind of vein as Inception as far as escaping from reality, in a different way, more of a horrifying way in the movie we're doing next week. but that's another story. So it just kind of worked out that way, that kind of a mini two-episode series of dream sequence movies, if you would.
Yeah.
But today we're talking 2010's Christopher Nolan film, Inception. This is a movie. That's what I'll say about it. And a really good movie. And I guess I can summarize. I haven't done a summary in a while. To summarize Inception, essentially, Cobb, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, is a dream thief. He's hired to go into people's dreams and steal information from big corporations and things like that. So he is essentially hired by Ken Watanabe's character to go in and extract this information from Cillian Murphy's character, to find out who the will and testament's being left to for this big company, that they essentially would like to know the secrets of that company and take them over. But the story is much deeper than that. This is such a layered movie. Essentially, Cobb is also not allowed to go home back to America to see his kids because he is blamed for the death of his wife through making her believe that her dreams were the real world and the real world no longer mattered, so she essentially kills herself, and they blame Cobb for that. So there's also an underlying subplot with that that drives Cobb's character in the film as he's doing what he does to go and get this information. And that seems like a very brief summary for such a complex film, but we also are hoping that by now you've seen Inception. And, you know, I saw this in theaters, and I was really blown away when I saw this film first.
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters. I think I saw it maybe like 2015, 2016. I think it was one of those conversations where you were just like...
After the Dark Knight trilogy came out?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was... I only saw it because it was one of those conversations where you're like, yeah, you know, like an Inception, you know, or they used... I think you may have mentioned that they used Bane, you know, or Tom Hardy from Inception, and then how he borrowed some characters from that movie. And I was like, I never saw it. You're like, oh, you got to go see it. And then I went out and I watched it. And I remember being kind of confused a little bit by it. But you just have to pay attention. And watching it a second time kind of helps. And it was funny how this was... You know, critics, they're like, oh, this movie's too predictable. And then you make a movie complex, and they're like, what the heck is this movie? It's too complex. So there's no pleasing the critics, but the critics that should actually have their job did, you know, write some good reviews about this movie. And it really makes you think.
Right. And a lot of critics are coming back around to this film. They're revisiting it, and they're realizing, like, okay, this is better than we thought it was. Because it really is good. It's an extremely complex film with multi-layered stories. And I want to jump right to the spoilers of this movie at the end. There's a lot to talk about in this film, but I just want to go ahead and go for broke on this motherfucker. Two things. Did Cobb come out of limbo, or did he not?
He did.
What do you think? Or
he did.
Here's another theory. The entire movie is a looping dream. There's no reality in the entire movie. The whole thing is a dream. I didn't think about that theory until I rewatched it this week, getting ready for the show. And I'm like, man, it's possible, because it starts out where Ken Watanabe's an old man, and it ends where he sees him as an old man. I'm like, yeah, you know, the more I think about it. But the third theory is, of course, that Cobb stays in limbo, and he lives in his dreams, just as his wife wanted to do. You know, and that's why he sees his children. But the easy, happy ending is this, is that he got out, and all is good with the world.
Yeah, I look at a couple different things. So I do believe that he went back to reality. Yeah, and I have watched some debunking just of people that, you know, show evidence of this. And if I guess in the scenes where he is in a dream, he has his wedding ring on. And when he's out of his dream, he doesn't have it on. And he doesn't have his wedding ring on when he sees his kids. Mm-hmm. It's also important to note that that Christopher Nolan paid hired actors that were older than the ones that Cobb saw in his dreams. So I think he was trying to make it obvious that he had come to reality, because it had been a while since he had seen his kids. Mm-hmm. And then now, you know, they're older. And I think that's the one that you want to know, but it is cool that you can have that conversation. And there are right. things that Saito, Ken Watanabe's character repeats, you know, regretful old man. He repeats his lines. He has repeated lines. People like cite that as to maybe he's like in Saito's dream still, or, it's cool. That's the cool thing about this movie, is that even though there is like, okay, the best, you know, the best, theory and the most likely theory is yes, he is in the real world. But the fact that you can have all these conversations about, you know, who is he in someone else's dream? Is he in one big dream? Is the movie one big dream? Mm-hmm. And they never left the movie. That's always a cool conversation that you can have.
Right.
And I saw someone, we are in a movie group, and someone was talking about how, Juno, I always call her Juno. Juno wasn't even supposed to be there. Yeah, Ellen Page wasn't even supposed to be on the plane. Now, she suggested to go there because what if Maul got out of hand? Mm-hmm. Because her job was simply just to architect the dream, and that's it. Or architect the layouts, and that's it. And she wasn't even supposed to go on the trip. So they're like, what if she betrayed him, and he's really trapped in her dream? You know, so... That's always, you know, something cool to, you know, psych yourself out about. It's like, what is the meaning of the film? And especially since, you know, we don't know if the top falls at the end.
Right.
You know, he left it open just to mind fuck you.
And that's what
you
I know? Think it is from Nolan. He did a real similar thing at the end of Memento. He makes you think that, you know, Guy Pearce figures out who killed his wife, but then he throws a loop towards the end of the film, like, well, maybe he didn't kill his wife. And I think that's what he was doing here. I think it's just an old filmmaking thing where he goes, you know, I'm going to mess with the audience a little bit. But I feel the same way. I've heard the wedding ring theory before, and that's what I stick with. And the fact that whenever they are waking up on the plane, you know, if he's still dreaming, why show him waking up? It just feels like you don't show that, you know? That's why I feel like he did get out at that point. And the way that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character smirks at him, and Saito makes the phone call. It just feels like they were all at peace with what they did, and they got out, you know. And that's how I feel about it too. But I wanted to get that out of the way early on in the film. But you know, but going back to this movie, it's such a layered film, and Nolan even talked about when he was writing the script that he wrote it like as if he was making a film, like the Leonardo DiCaprio's character Cobb is the director, Saito mm-hmm. is like the producer. And it goes on down the line. Ellen Page's character is the art director or cinematographer, so to speak. And I thought that was kind of a cool way to look at it. And he said he actually did design it to feel like the layers of a film and the way it would be made when he's making it in the dream world. And, you know, he had this idea for this film as far back as when he was making Batman Begins. And he thought, like, At one point, it was going to be his next film in between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, but he thought the script would only take him like a month to write. It ended up taking, I think I read, 2 years before to get the script right. So he ended up putting it on the back burner and, of course, shot the film after he did The Dark Knight. And
surprised that didn't take longer. That's so complex of a movie.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, and Christopher Nolan is a director that, as we're well aware of, is not afraid to take on complex projects. You could argue that The Dark Knight is a very complex crime film. We've mm-hmm. seen his early crime films with Memento and Insomniac, and then also, or not Insomniac, Insomnia, and then even The Prestige, which we covered on the show, is a very layered, complex film about two men at war with each other, essentially, through their magicianship. And recently with Dunkirk, that's quite a layered, complex film, too.
Yeah.
And I think, though, Inception, as good as The Dark Knight is, I almost feel like Inception is like the movie for Nolan that he really refined his craft completely. Like, this film, I don't know if it's... I think it's on the same level as Dark Knight. I don't think either film is better, but I think, like, the fact that he made two such solid films in a row, it's like, okay, this guy is a fucking movie director. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, in that movie group, again, people were bringing up... it's funny how we did this film at this time. People are bringing up Christopher Nolan and Inception and that movie group we're in. And they brought up Nolan and they're asking, you know, they made a poll, see if he was the best director right now. Mm-hmm. Like, is he the best director right now? And, you know, I think he makes a strong case for being the best director right now. You know, other than maybe the Russo brothers, you know, you could probably argue that, you know, maybe they come pretty close, like, to modern...
My only thing with the Russo brothers is that they had a built-in audience for those films, and don't get me wrong, there was pressure there. But yeah. I feel like with the scripts they had in the film, that it could have been the Russo brothers, or it could have been Kenneth Branagh, who directed the first Thor movie. I think the Russo brothers was more about being the right place at the right time, if that makes sense. Where Nolan had to craft, other than his Batman films, which had a built-in audience, his other films he's crafted on his own. And he's built his audience for himself. And I think he proved that he wasn't a one-trick pony with just the Batman films, because he's made several other good films. And I think that's what does make him probably possibly the best director working today, you know, for sure. I'm really looking forward to Tenet. I want to see it. You know, they pushed it back a couple of weeks. I don't know if it's going to make theaters or not. But, you know, I like that film. Dunkirk wasn't my favorite of his, but I still enjoyed it. Interstellar is... okay, it's, well, I would say it's okay. It's just, Interstellar is kind of a one-time watch, and okay, I've seen it, you know. But he is definitely a director that I look very forward to seeing what else he does in the future. Yeah, there was one point in time where he circled doing Superman before Zack Snyder did Man of Steel, and I always would have been very curious to see what Nolan had done with the Superman film. I know he produced Man of Steel, but yeah. He just didn't want to do another comic movie. But I would argue that Inception might be his best movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could, as far as like you said, without the help of the Batman fan base and just the complexity of it, and I'd have to agree. A cool fact that I didn't know until we were doing some research on this film is that the snow scene, the snow dream, was based off of his favorite James Bond right. film, Her Majesty's Secret Service,
The Spy Who Loved Me.
No, Majesty's right. Secret Service. But yeah, he there was the scene in the beginning of The Spy Who Loved Me, but there's a longer snow scene in Majesty's Secret Service.
And the amazing thing, too, is like, I just had it in front of me and I lost it. Oh, the studio pushed him to do the film in 3D because of the dreamscape, and he said no, he felt that would take away from the film. But amazing thing is, there's only 500 special effects shots in this movie. Most of it's practical effects. They use models. Oh, wow. They use models and stuff for the buildings bending, and the multiple dream sequences. Were all Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That was all shot with wire work in the hotel, which is really done well. And he did a lot of his own stunts. Leonardo DiCaprio. A lot of the actors did their own stunts because they wanted it to be believable. And I thought that was really cool, considering that this movie and the way it looks, they only have 500 special effects. That's pretty amazing. They used some matte paintings for the dream sequences. They wanted to go with old school practical effects for this film, and Nolan still does that even today. You know, he used like with Interstellar, you know, he shot the special effects early, then put them behind the actors instead of using green screens. So, you know, okay. So he's done some interesting stuff as far as a filmmaker goes with his special effects and his work with that. And Inception's a remarkable looking film considering that they use a lot of practical effects in this movie. And the cast of this movie, you know, it's the first time I realized we had not done a Leonardo DiCaprio film yet.
Considering
good films he's been in, you know, Leo doesn't get enough credit, man. He's really good in almost everything he does. You know, I know he's that Hollywood pretty boy, bachelor, you know, and everything, and people, he's not always the nicest guy in the public eye, you know, as far as interviews, because he keeps to himself, but he's a movie star. You know, you have to admit today, there's very few movie stars anymore, but Leo is a movie star. And he's a good one. I've never seen a movie that he's bad in.
Yeah. I mean, even Quick and the Dead. I loved him in Quick and the Dead. The cocky, the half-cocked, you know, farm boy sharpshooter with the mouth on him. He was perfect for that part. And then even in The Island, he wasn't bad in The Island, which his worst
Island?
Movie.
Shutter Island?
No, not Shutter Island. The Island, right?
No, you mean The Beach.
The Beach.
Yeah.
The Beach. Well, yeah.
That's a Danny Boyle film. Even it's not terrible.
Yeah. It was just, I guess it wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to get into it.
I wasn't a huge fan of The Beach either. It's one of my least favorite Danny Boyle movies.
Yeah.
But The Island, that's the Ewan McGregor, Michael Bay film.
That's right.
But you know, yeah, Leo is just, it's one of those guys that, man, he brings it every time. He makes good films. You know, he's worked with Scorsese a lot, obviously, and I didn't realize he'd only done one Christopher Nolan film. I felt like for some reason he'd done another, but I would love to see him work with Nolan again maybe one day, because I really like him in Inception. The rest of this cast is really good, with Ken Watanabe, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Tom Hardy, Cillian Murphy. You know, just an excellent cast of characters. Ellen Page is really good in this. This whole movie comes together with all its layers and all its complexities. And what's amazing, too, while I was watching the other day, you know the climax for this film starts? This movie is 2 hours and 22 minutes long, right? The climax for this film starts like an hour and 15 minutes in this movie. So it's almost an hour and 15-minute long climax. You know,
wow.
Because it basically starts when they go to sleep on the plane. That's when the climax starts. And it's an incredible climax. But it's layered in all the different dream worlds after that. And, you know, you are right. You do have to watch it a couple of times to kind of pick up on everything. But it holds you to the edge of your seat, and it makes you pay attention to everything that's going on. And I like this movie quite a bit. It is probably, other than The Dark Knight, it might be my favorite. I think it is my favorite Christopher Nolan film. I don't know if it's my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio film. But that's hard to say because he's pretty good in everything he does.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of females love him in The Titanic.
I like The Departed. I like Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, everything Leo's done, Gangs of New York, I've liked. So, I don't know if I really have a favorite. You know, he's done a lot of good stuff.
It's really just pick one, you know. He doesn't have that Terminator 2. He's got, they're all like successful portrayals of what he's supposed to do. He's an actor that goes in, he gets his job done, and he does what, you know, he plays the role that he's supposed to play, and he does it to the highest ability.
I probably, the one he won the Oscar for, The Revenant, that's probably my least favorite. I didn't care for that film all that much. That was okay.
Yeah, and he doesn't talk the whole time. Yeah.
And
I bought that movie because it was a voodoo early thing, and I was like, oh, this movie's got to be good, right? I'm just going to buy it. And I was like, this movie's like not what I thought it was. Yeah. I mean, the scene where he gets attacked by the bear is pretty cool.
And there's like 20 minutes of fucking scenery in the movie. It's like, okay, I don't want to see scenery. You know?
For real.
Yeah, that wasn't my favorite. But, you know, can't win them all, I guess. You know, Tom Hardy was in that movie too, you know, by the way. In The Revenant.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. Tom Hardy.
But Inception, man, I felt like it's a solid, solid film to follow up our 200th episode, Empire Strikes Back, because Inception is a modern-day classic, I think, in its own right. And maybe people aren't calling it a modern-day classic yet, but I think they will, because I think Christopher Nolan's going to go on to have a quite a solid career, as he already has, but I think he's Nolan himself's going to win a director, not Oscar one day, I believe. You know, he's done some good stuff already. Leo will probably win another Best Actor award before he's said and done. But Inception for me is a solid A plus. I think this movie is really, really good. I think it's complex. I think it's good science fiction, which, you know, science fiction doesn't always have to be laser guns and spaceships and stuff. So I like science fiction that, tells a good story that gets into your mind and makes you think about things and has some grounded reality to that science fiction. And that's what Inception is. And I think that's why I like it a lot, because I grew up with sci-fi movies, and it's refreshing to see a science fiction film that is, not spaceships and lasers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but there's nothing wrong with lasers.
No.
Especially if we do a movie where there are sharks with lasers attached to their heads. One day. We can do the Michael Caine one. We can do Austin Powers 3.
Yeah, and Michael Caine's in Inception for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So, how do you rate Inception?
It's definitely an A+. I think you have to. It's just that even if you don't get it, even if you watch the movie and you're just like, I don't get it, it's still a really good movie with a good hero. I guess Cobb's the hero, and he has a good cause, and he's got, you know, the hero's downfall that all the Greek heroes have, and that's that, you know, he tried to control his wife by telling her that the world she was in was fake. And then they sat on the train tracks and they woke up, and then it just kept festering. That was the thing. Kept festering and festering, and then she didn't know what was reality.
Yeah.
It was pretty sad. Pretty sad.
Yeah. So, there's a bit of a... And that's why I choose to like the happy ending, because I feel like what Cobb went through, everything, he deserves a happy ending to see his kids again and to get some redemption for what he... lived with the guilt of what he felt he might have caused. And so that's why I choose to the theory that is a happy ending, that he was able to get out and go back home and see his kids again. So, you know, and that's where
I choose to believe.
And if you've ever seen Inception, it is on Netflix right now. So watch it, man. If you've been on the fence about it, or you're a Leonardo DiCaprio hater, which I don't know why you would be, take the time to watch Inception. Such a great film and well worth watching.
I went ahead and bought it. I didn't own it. I bought it off of Vudu for $5. Yeah. So, if you have seen it and you want to own it and you don't own it yet, $5 on Vudu. There's a lot of other movies too on Vudu for $5. Just go there and watch.
Inception might be one of the very first early blue, because I bought a Blu-ray player. When did Avatar come out? 2008.
2009.
So I bought a Blu-ray player in 2009. Then Inception came out in 2010. So this has to be one of the early Blu-rays I ever bought. You know, because I remember buying it. But a good movie. Inception. Watch it on Netflix. You've never seen it. We hope you enjoyed some fun facts and talking about it, because I really enjoyed watching it again, because it's a movie I've watched this probably. It might be a once a year watcher for me. I probably pull it out, watch it once a year, because I really like it. So I was glad to watch it again. And it was also requested by one of our Patreons, Adrian. He had requested us do a non-Batman Christopher Nolan film. And I told him, well, we did The Prestige. And he was like, yeah, but that was months ago. So I was like, okay, so we'll do it. He asked us to do Inception. So we did. So let's get into some news before we... you want to do the weekly top five first?
Yeah, we can do that.
I had this weekly top five for the 200th episode, but we ran long with the Star Wars trivia and stuff, so I didn't do it. And this weekly top five kind of comes off of a couple weeks ago. We were talking about watching Justice League Dark Apocalypse War and the end of the new 52 continuity of DC animated films, as they're going to do. They're going to continue to make DC animated films, but we're going to get some new stuff. They're not going to have that continuity anymore. So I decided to give my top five of the DC animated 52 continuity films. So I'm not counting the early stuff like Batman or the Red Hood. These are the films that were tied together with their loose universe. And at number five, I have Batman vs. Robin, which I think there was a lot of Batman in this series of New 52 continuities. All pretty decent. Son of Batman was pretty decent. Batman Bad Blood was pretty decent. even Batman Hush, but I think Batman vs. Robin was probably the best of them because we got to see Batman and Robin go kind of head-to-head, and they introduced the Court of Owls and all that, and I just thought it was a really good adaption of those stories from the comics. And so I put it at number five. At number four, I put Reign of Superman, which goes toe-in-toe with number three, which is The Death of Superman. I thought that was a really good two-part story. They put together emotional and well done in animated form. I rewatched Reign of Superman last couple weeks because I wanted to rewatch it to see how it connected to Apocalypse War again. And Reign of Superman's not as good as Death of Superman, but it still is a pretty well done too. And then of course Death of Superman number three. And number two, I have Flashpoint, which started all this thing, this whole thing. Which is just really good. And then number one, I do have Apocalypse War, which was the conclusion for the new 52 era of DC animated films. I thought it was really good, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. How do you feel about my top five DC new 52 DC animated films?
I think that's solid. I think those are probably the best. I think maybe you can throw in, you threw in Apocalypse War, right? That was three or four for you.
I had number one.
I'm not sorry, not Apocalypse War. War.
No, I had War. Kind of if I had number six, I would put War. You know, because War, if you go back and rewatch War, which I've watched that recently too, it's a little clunky. Like they didn't get their, because they're reintroducing all the characters. There's a lot of wasted time.
Yeah.
And that's my only thing with War. It's like it could have been better.
And they kind of make Green Lantern into a little bit of a joke.
Yeah.
Kind of in that film.
Yeah. But and then like Throne of Atlantis is really good. The problem with Throne of Atlantis is none of the story threads they introduced in that, they never came back to them. They just sort of left it alone. You know? So, and that was kind of disappointing. I always felt like Throne of Atlantis was left wide open for a sequel or for an Aquaman standalone film. Then when the Aquaman live action film came out in theaters, I thought, okay, here's their chance to do an Aquaman animated film and tie it in with what they did in Throne of Atlantis, and they never did. So that, you know, it felt like that was a missed opportunity. I think the worst out of the new 52 era is probably Justice League versus Teen Titans. That one just wasn't very well done. The musical number in the middle of it's just kind of odd. It's like, what? You know? And
yeah, with the DDR.
Yeah, so that could have been a better film. Judas Contract is pretty good.
Judas Contract.
You know, Bad Blood is pretty good. Bad Blood, though, my problem with Bad Blood is it is another one similar to Throne of Atlantis. They introduced some story threads in Bad Blood that they never came back to. You know, by introducing Batwing and Batwoman and all that, and then it just sort of, okay, we introduced these characters, but we...
Batwing made a cameo in Apocalypse.
And so did Batwoman. They do make cameos in Apocalypse, but they still never came back to the story threads that they introduced in Bad Blood, you know, so
it's
kind of a little disappointing, you know. But it is what it is. You know, when you're doing those kind of things to lose continuity, I guess you're going to have some issues. But I still appreciate that we've gotten all these cool animated films, and I look forward to seeing what DC does next in their animated universe. So we'll see.
We'll see where it goes.
Let's get to some news, and we're going to stay with DC for a bit, as we lost Denny O'Neil this week. A longtime DC Comics writer. If you've ever read a DC comic at any point in your life, you've probably read a Denny O'Neil story. One of the greats of our time. He's responsible for bringing Batman back in the late 70s, getting him out of the silly mode that was introduced by the Adam West films and making Batman serious again. You name it, this guy has written it. Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, all kinds of books. Definitely a legend in the comic book industry. And so he left us this week, and so a tribute to him, the late, great Denny O'Neil is no longer with us making comic books. And so, you know, a little tribute to him there.
Rip.
You're probably a little young to really know what Denny O'Neil meant, Matt, but you've probably read a Denny O'Neil story at some point, I'm sure.
Probably, without even knowing.
Yeah, exactly. We've got more release date shuffles in Hollywood. Matrix 4 has been pushed back to 2022 now. Wonder Woman's been pushed back to October of this year. King Kong vs. Godzilla pushed back to May of next year. I didn't even know they were making a live-action Tom and Jerry movie, but apparently they are, and it's been pushed back. the COVID-19 pandemic continues to wreak havoc on the world and Hollywood. It's a little disappointing, you know, that this continues to happen. But again, safety is everyone's priority. Let's get people safe before we open things back up completely, so we can enjoy films and theaters the way it should be. You know, as of right now, Warner Brothers says they're releasing Tenet in late July. We'll see. I don't think maybe Christmas time. What do you think, man? I don't know.
I mean, at this point, I mean, they even pushed back Wonder Woman again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I know. A movie that says it's coming out in August. We got a new trailer for this week, and that's Bill and Ted Face the Music. There's a lot of rumor going around out there, though, that Bill and Ted Face the Music is fully prepared to go to home premiere if it doesn't make its theater release date, which I can see that. For some reason, this feels like a movie that you don't have to see in theaters. You know, like, hey, if it goes to home premiere, great. And as much as it looks like a train wreck, I want to see it too, right?
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we both talked about it. It's like, it looks not at all put together that great. Yeah. But, I mean, it's got to be better than Bogus Journey, right?
Right, exactly. You know, it kind of reminds me of the first trailer for Cobra Kai. It looked like an absolute wreck of a show, but it came together to be pretty decent.
Yeah.
This feels like another one of those 80s nostalgia grabs. It looks like a train wreck. Will probably come together pretty decently. And I'll probably watch the fuck out of, you know? Keanu Reeves at this point in his career, you know, feels like he can do whatever he wants, and that's why he's making Bill and Ted 3. And he can pretty much do whatever he wants. You know, he doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
It looks like a fun little movie. You know, we'll see. I wish that George Carlin was still here to make an appearance in it, but unfortunately he's not. But it should be fun.
Didn't they get his daughter?
Is that the rumor that his daughter's in it?
I thought so. I didn't see her in the trailer. I know they
brought the girls who played the princesses back from the original. They're in the film. So that's
okay.
So we'll see if Bill and Ted Face the Music makes it to theaters or if it goes to home premiere. We'll see. So lastly, Sony this week introduced their PlayStation 5. It's interesting. It's going to have a disc version that will play disc and 4K movies, and it's going to have a digital-only version. I thought that was interesting. As far as the genres we cover, the biggest news was Spider-Man Miles Morales. It's not a sequel to the Spider-Man game. It's a standalone kind of spinoff from Spider-Man, as Insomniac Games is still working on a separate Spider-Man sequel. But that's a big one. I think, did you watch any of the event online the other day?
I watched some of it, and then I forgot what happened that I couldn't watch it.
You know, well, first look at it. First impressions are people are like, oh, that's cool. It doesn't look much different than the PS4. But if you're a hardcore gamer, there's things you'll notice. Like, if you look at the backgrounds of the scenes, the colors, things moving in the background, there are differences in the graphics compared to the PS4s and the Xbox Ones. If you really look
slight.
At it. Yeah. If you look at
what. I mean, graphics are already really good.
Right.
It's hard for me to imagine much improvement, but there are some.
The biggest thing is seamless loading. Like that trailer for the Ratchet and Clank movie or game where they're going from world to world without loading, that is unheard of. You know, like you play Jedi Fallen Order right now and you have to load from world to world. Can you imagine just instant loading from the worlds? I mean, that's something that we've all been waiting for the power of a machine to do for a year so we can play our games faster. So I'm on board with this. I've always been a Sony fan. I did venture out into Xbox world for a while when I had a 360, but I also owned a PS3 at the time. But I've always been a pretty solid PlayStation supporter, and I know across the way over there, Matt, you're Mr. Xbox right now. But you know, maybe all these exclusive games they have come out for the PS5 might convince you otherwise.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to it. There's no price point on it yet. Comes out in November, so start saving your money now. I've actually considered that. Think about, you know, maybe taking $10-$20 a week aside and just start saving now so I can get one when it comes out. Possibly. You know, we'll see.
Possibly.
Yeah. And, so PlayStation 5. That's all the news I had. I mean, yeah, we haven't gotten together for a couple weeks, but the news has slowed down a bit. I'm sure it has to do with current world events with all the protests and stuff going on. There hasn't been a whole lot of positive things to talk about, but hopefully there's some. And that's why we want a podcast for you so we can be positive and give you something fun to listen to.
Yes.
But before we get out of here, let's preview next week's movie. another movie that's celebrating a 30 years, man, since this came out. It came out in June of 1990, and a movie that's from your favorite actor of all time, Matt, and that is Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Arrest that woman!
Quaid.
Cut.
Get ready for a surprise.
We can't let him run around. He knows too much. They've got your bug.
I get a lock.
There! And the bug's in your skull.
Take this thing out of the case and stick it up your nose. Don't worry, it's self-guiding.
Got him.
I lost him.
Welcome to Mars.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here.
Look who's talking.
They erased your identity and implanted a new one.
If I'm not me, who the hell am I?
He's got a hologram!
Welcome to Johnny Cab.
Drive!
Where can I take you tonight? Please fasten your seatbelt.
I want Quaid delivered alive for reimplantation.
That's for making me come to Mars. You wouldn't hurt me. After all, we're married.
Consider that a divorce.
Hope you enjoyed the ride.
Not the Colin Farrell version. And
no.
The Colin Farrell version is not terrible, but it's not classic like this, you know. The movie, it introduced us to Sharon Stone in the world, directed by Paul Verhoeven, of course, who made RoboCop. So it's ultra violent. I would argue that Arnold is actually pretty good in this movie, considering he's not always known for his acting. But he's pretty decent in this film, if I remember right. It's been a while since I've watched it. I'm going to watch it this week. And I know I'll ask you this again next week, but where does Total Recall rank for you on the Arnold list of Mount Rushmores?
It's definitely within the top five. I'd have to sit down and think, but it definitely makes the top five. Right. I mean, because you're going to have Terminator 2 probably at the top, right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You're probably still going to have Terminator in there.
I might put Predator above the first Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, you know, essentially in no specific order, it's got to be, at least for most people. I mean, there's Commando too. Some people might kick out Terminator 1 for Commando.
I think Terminator 2, Predator, Terminator, True Lies, and Total Recall.
Yeah, True Lies. Yeah,
that's what I would.
That's where I was going at first, and then I remembered Commando, and I'm like, man, do I put Commando in there? It's so hard to put.
But
you know,
Commando's a fun movie, but it's not a good movie.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's cheesy action, you know? This Green Beret is going to kick your ass. I eat Green Berets for breakfast.
We did Predator too. We never did Predator. We'll have to come around one day and do Predator.
Oh, yeah.
And, Total Recall next week. So that should be fun to talk about as we can stay in the dream world. We go from Inception to Welcome to Recall.
Yes. Implanting memories physically. Just.
So that's on next week's show, episode 202, as we continue on to 300. And, you know, and also on our social media, if you're following us on Facebook or Twitter, always feel free to, I don't think we say this enough, but feel free to leave us suggestions. And if there's a movie you like to hear, you don't have to be a Patreon member to suggest a movie. And we'll try to throw it in there. You know, right now, we usually have four or five movies planned out of time. Right now, we don't have really that many planned out. So, you know, we're open to suggestions. Of course, go to therebelradiopodcast.com, hit those social media links, and if you want to join our Patreon, it's just $2 a month. You get an exclusive episode. So that's going to be coming. Our June episode should be coming soon, too, for that. But as always, thanks for listening. We appreciate all the support. So glad we made it to 200, and we hope you enjoyed 201 as we hope to get bigger and better and just do more fun stuff for you guys. And we do appreciate it. That's all I got. You know, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.